Hey guys, finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy, thanks to Goldbelly. Goldbelly ships America's most iconic foods straight from world-famous restaurants right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Goldbelly has you covered with free shipping anywhere in the country. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
It is the late 19th century, Christmas Day. A young child proceeds to the dining hall to receive his Christmas gift, the Lambeth Workhouse, workhouse. These are mostly young men, young boys who have no parents, or the parents are not responsible for them at the moment, and they're wards of the state momentarily. One of those small children is Charlie Chaplin. This scene plays again and again throughout the book, in my mind, Charlie Chaplin versus America, when art, sex, and politics collided. Scott Eyman is the author. I welcome Scott now. This scene, Scott, I return again and again to it in your careful analysis of Charlie Chaplin's spectacular career. He tells the story, I imagine, more than once. He also uses the image of oranges on Christmas to his own children when they are not appreciative of the wealth that they grew up in. What happened to Charlie Chaplin? I imagine he was some 6, 7, 8 years old. What happened to Charlie Chaplin that day? Good day to you, Scott.
Good day to you, John. Thanks for having me. The story was told to me by Chaplin's son, Sidney. Sidney Chaplin was named after Chaplin's brother, Sidney, for very good reasons that we can get into later. Sidney Chaplin told me that he would go over to his father's house in Switzerland for Christmas, and the tree would be 15 feet tall and hundreds of presents under it, because Chaplin and his wife Una had 8 children at that point, as well as Sidney coming over from California to spend time with them over the holiday. And he said, you could set your watch by it. At some point on Christmas Day, Chaplin would grow very quiet while the kids were plowing through their presents and running around and everything. And then he would say, when I was a boy, all I got for Christmas was an orange. And Sidney had been listening to this sentence for, and at this point, Sidney's 30 years old. Sidney had been listening to this sentence for basically all of his life on Christmas Day. So one Christmas, he got up the nerve to say, well, Pop, I live in California. I could bring you all the oranges you want. And Chaplin shot him a look that clearly indicated this was no laughing matter, and he didn't appreciate the humor. It related to something that happened to Chaplin when he was domiciled in the Lambeth Workhouse as a child. He would have been, as you said, 7 or so. His father had died of alcoholism at the age of 37. His mother was currently in and out of asylums for what clearly seems to us to be profound schizophrenia. She also was syphilitic. We don't know whether the syphilis, the schizophrenia was a function of tertiary syphilis or whether it was simply another problem that she had. We'll never know at this point. But she was clearly emotionally and mentally profoundly unstable. So Charlie and his brother were remanded to the tender mercies of a Victorian workhouse. And it was, on the one hand, it was basically the only real education he ever had. He had the equivalent of a 4th or 5th grade education. So that's on the plus side. On the other hand, it was profoundly humiliating for him. He got ringworm. His head had to be shaved. He was laughed at by the other children. He was small. He was extraordinarily shy. Not hard to imagine why. He didn't mingle well with the others. Not hard to imagine why. And at Christmas, the gift that they got, each child got an orange. That was it. And this haunted Chaplin all of his long 88 years of life, his childhood. And he regarded basically, I think, his entire adulthood and maturity as a successful escape from his childhood.
Because that one Christmas, he'd done something irregular. and he didn't get an orange, and he talked about weeping.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yes.
And when he returned to Britain as a success, he went to the Lambeth Workhouse and pointed out his seat where he sat weeping. Now, I start with that story, Scott. Your book is so overwhelmingly convincing about the genius of Charlie Chaplin, at the same time, the tragedy of Charlie Chaplin. And I think it's all in that story. We need to meet his mother, Anna Hill. As you say, she struggled with what might have been syphilis, might have been mental illness to begin with. She was a bootmaker's son. I'm following your reporting. And she married Charlie Chaplin Sr., who was theater. She was theater, too. At one point,
on a lower level than her husband. Charles Chaplin Sr. was quite successful for a brief period of time before he was overwhelmed in a sea of alcohol. But he toured America. He made a decent living for a time. But the music hall vaudeville atmosphere environment in England was quite different from the vaudeville atmosphere in America. In England, the performers were expected to drink with the customers after their performance. They were supposed to mingle and get the audience to buy drinks and increase the profit margin of the theater. This naturally enough lured more than a few performers in England towards alcoholism. In America, it was quite the reverse. Entrepreneurs like the Schuberts and B.F. Keith basically forbade the performers to mingle with the audience and didn't require them to drink with their customers. So there was a far lower percentage of alcoholics among American vaudevillians than there was among English vaudevillians. But Chaplin's father succumbed quite young to the disease.
Charlie Chaplin was born April of 1888, and in 1903, his brother returns from sea, Sid, his older half-brother, although they looked alike, and takes charge of Charlie when he's told mother went insane again and she's in the hospital. Charlie remembers his mother as a dainty woman with violet blue eyes and long hair. He idolized her. Is that fair to say, Scott?
Absolutely. He adored her. He did see her out of control. He did see her frantic. He did see her in a semi-deranged state. But it never really impacted his positive memories of her, of how she would, her long brown hair and the way she doted on him, really, and took very good care of him when she was able to, when she was emotionally stable at those times. And those were the times he focused on. Yes, he loved his mother very much. He didn't really care for his father, but he didn't know his father very well because his father disappeared from his life when he was a small child.
Right. There was a younger stepbrother born in another relationship that Hannah had, but I want to focus on Sid now. Sid takes charge of Charlie. They were in and out of orphanages or workhouses together, and then Sid went to sea. Sid comes back in 1903, and he's going to take care of Charlie by introducing him into the theater. Did Sid know theater, this man, Fred Carno? How did he get Charlie and signed up with him?
Everybody knew Fred Carno in early 20th century London. Fred Carno was the rough equivalent of Max Sennett in America.
He
produced comedy on an industrial scale and promoted it throughout the English Isle and actually into the continent as well. The Carno companies were so successful, they even toured America and were quite successful in America. Sid preceded Charlie into the Carno company. Sid initially was going to didn't know what he wanted to do. But after being at sea for a while, he realized he didn't want to be there. And he thought, well, he might as well follow the family tradition and become a performer. So he got a job as a comedian with Carno. And after a time, by this time, Charlie is about 19 or 20. He got Charlie a job also. Now, Charlie had some theatrical experience before, but nothing on the level of working for Fred Carno, which was on a fairly high level. But he got Charlie a job, even though Carno thought it was not a good idea because Charlie was tiny. He was 5'6" and scared and looked much younger than he actually was. He looked like he was about 14. But he took him on because Sid had been successful and Carno liked Sid, so he felt he was doing Sid a favor. As it turned out, Sid had talent and Charlie had genius. And within a very short time, Charlie was one of the premier comedians in the Carno company. And at that point, basically, their days of want were over because they both made a decent living in vaudeville. Not a huge living, but they weren't poverty stricken anymore, and they weren't going to be poverty stricken anymore.
Scott Iman's book is Charlie Chaplin versus America. I'm John Batchelor.
Hey guys, finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy. Thanks to Goldbelly. Goldbelly ships America's most iconic foods straight from world-famous restaurants right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Goldbelly has you covered with free shipping anywhere in the country. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT.